Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast with people who are fans of interior designers, and that time when I lost that game of Limbo because I was the inferior recliner. I'm Adrian, as always, here with Paul. Let's get big facted. Let's get no capping.
Big facts. No.
Cap.
Big facts. No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts. No.
Cap.
Big facts. No.
Cap.
No cap. No cap.
You know, I was editing this week's podcast earlier. We talk so much shit about people from high school. Some of it's in there, some of it's out there. I had to take some of it out. Talking about certain people's Adderall addictions. But one thing I was thinking about when we were clowning on Sasuke Uchiwa was that he was one of those kids in high school where, like, part of his personality for a while is that he was really into Emma Watson, which... I don't know what possesses a child to think, like, this is part of my personality. I really have a big crush on this movie star.
I mean, women do it too, though, with, like, male movie stars.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah. There's definitely some people who, like, they're like, this is the movie star who I specifically think is the hottest movie star. And then there's, like, the ones that are obvious, like, One Direction, but some girls are like, ooh, I like a guy who's, he looks a little quirkier or different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I'm attacking people in my life too much. Let's move on.
Ooh, okay. All right, coward. Oh, call them out.
Call them out by name.
Mm-hmm. I had a colleague of mine once tell me that her dream guy was the current doctor for Doctor Who. So, like, sickly British is what she was into. And I saw her boyfriend, and I was like, yeah, I get it.
Was it when it was Peter Capaldi or before that when it was...
It would be recent. So I think the one right before they made the
Haven't they had a female doctor yet? Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Peter Capaldi, he's pretty cool. I get that in a weird... That is a weird choice, though. He's old.
Oh, no. The one that I'm thinking of is definitely younger looking.
Matt Smith?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Eccleston never gets his due.
Tell you what.
My favorite doctor. Before Doctor Who went woke.
Mm.
Could you imagine if somebody had that opinion that Doctor Who had gone woke?
The doctor was a woman?
Oh, I guess people did have that opinion. Never mind. I said it as a joke, but I think people were upset when the doctor became a woman.
Yeah, I don't think you can be surprised by that nowadays.
Yeah, I guess if M&M's have gone woke, they'll claim anything was unwoke
before.
No,
M&M's have gone unfuckable.
And that's which is the same as woke.
That's true.
You know what I like, though? Johnny Depp. He used to, like, hang out with these, like, alternative artists. He was, like, this dirtbag, like, gonzo journalist, whatever bullshit. And now he's gone unwoke. He did an opposite.
Mm,
because he divorced a woman and was mean to her. So, I gotta say, shout out Johnny Depp going unwoke.
I think they're against divorce, though, right?
I guess it depends which ones.
I mean, that's part of the Republican, like, platform now, is, like, getting rid of no-fault divorce.
I don't think Steven Crowder is setting the Republican platform just yet, but...
No, yeah. Have you not heard about this? Yeah.
Wait,
it's
what?
Like, it's becoming integrated as, like, one of their things now, yeah.
That rocks.
Yeah, that is crazy that you can really clear where that's... You can clearly see where that stemmed from.
Wait.
The next thing is you're not allowed to be a big meanie to anyone named Steven.
Wow. That's all I have to say to that, if they're actually trying to push that in some state houses or something. Fucking
yeah, in
losers.
Texas right now, yeah.
That's the funniest thing about Oh, and whatever. We're not a political show, but...
We're not a political show. Oddly political, but not a political explicitly show.
Let's go into less political territory.
Everything's politics, Paul.
Damn,
unless you're so privileged that you don't get to think about it that way.
Oh, I am. Perfect. Let's move on.
Oh, okay, cool. I like your shirt that you're wearing today. You look like a cloud.
Did you learn to give compliments in, like, the mean high school girls club?
What do you mean? That's a good compliment. Did you get that from the swap?
No, I got it from Marshall's.
Oh, you paid for that. Okay.
Okay. I didn't think you were just trying to find an opening for a second burn.
No, how was the clothing swap?
Oh, dude, it was really fun. Nice. Yeah. I broke some people who were kind enough to share their bocce balls and play with me. I broke one of their bocce balls by hitting cement with it.
Ooh, Paul, keep it on the grass.
Well, the person who threw the polena, which is what I learned the white ball is called, threw it over a sidewalk. So I don't think it was my fault.
So you underhit it.
Yeah.
Oof.
Because somebody else had rolled it, but I was trying to get like a nice, like, I wanted it to stick where it landed, so it had like an arc and came down. Mm-hmm. Like, if it'd been rolling, it would have been fine.
Yeah. You like cracked that thing open?
No, so it's like, I guess it's like some hard rock material in there, some hard like concrete in there, but on the outside is like a more ceramic-y material. I mean, I don't know if it's the same stuff that's in bowling balls, but it kind of has that vibe of like there's something in there to weigh it down, but then on the outside is like a ceramic material to give it a rolly, glossy finish.
I see.
So it kind of just broke off the outer shell.
And did you offer to buy them a new one?
I did. They didn't actually seem that perturbed. They were. They thought it was funny.
Well, that's, you know, yeah, that's their like playset, not their like tournament set.
I mean, you say that as a joke, but her whole thing was that her family does have a massive tournament that they're going to in 2 weeks. That's like big enough that they've gotten it sponsored, so the winner gets like, I don't know how what they get. Like, they win some prize money from a vodka company that sponsors their beach.
That's cool.
Tournament, their beach bocce ball tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a baby shower going on near our clothing swap, and an old Indian man came by, and he was so enraptured by the game of bocce ball, didn't know what it was asking so many questions. At what point I was like, you take the next game, you dip into the team, you take my spot, you gotta play a game of this. Like, you seem for like a 60-year-old Indian man, you seem so taken by this. He's like, oh, like, how does this work? Like, what do you do? Like,
that's a beautiful story about community, my brother.
Yeah, it was nice.
Was it good?
About as good as us.
I love a good game of bocce. I remember, I don't know, I don't think it became a yearly thing, but there was one year where the Italian festival in Colombia had a bocce ball tournament. And I obviously didn't play, but I was very tempted. I remember being tempted to play.
They were like, what's your team's name, son? And you were like, Milan.
Yeah. No, I'd do one of those things where it's like a pun. So it'd be like...
off with their hands?
Yeah. I was thinking more of something that incorporated bocce, but yeah.
I was just thinking of an old Reddit story about a kid who... named their team that because it's supposed to be a pun of like off with their heads for a dodgeball tournament. So they named it off with their hands, but it was also a secret second strategy of waiting till they played a kid's name called Jack's team and then losing to them on purpose. So it was Jack's team beats off with their hands. And I think I read that in like high school, and that stuck with me to this day.
Well, it's classic. It's real good.
Yeah, it's a great. I mean, come on, man. Could you imagine if somebody did that?
Come on, no.
That's funny.
Anything else happened at the clothing swap? Besides you making new friends?
No, it was really nice. A lot of the clothes got taken, which was kind of nice to see that we saved a lot of stuff from going into a landfill.
Mm-hmm.
I found a couple nice pieces, and it was just like a generally bright, sunny day. It was nice to be out there. Yeah. Good times. Good times were had by all, Adrian.
And you touched some grass.
Literally.
Anything else happened with your weekend?
No. How about you?
Not much. Watched a lot of soccer. Thursday and Friday were busy because I did a 2-day workshop over Zoom run by the Animal Behavior Society. So I got to meet a bunch of young animal behaviorists from around the world. So that was cool. And then Friday night was my friend Chelsea's celebration for doing her exit seminar. So that was exciting. That was fun. There was this bit that I did that I don't understand why it landed or worked at all. And it really just tickled me in a meta sense more that it worked than the fact that it was actually funny at all. But the water dispenser at that brewery is the same one that we have at my lab. And so I knew that the hot water dispenser not only works, but comes out like weirdly boiling hot. So when I was going to get waters for me and Corn Chip, I used a plastic cup to fill my cup with cold water. And then I filled a like actual like reusable plastic cup with the hot water, and then I just let her choose which one she wanted. I knew she was gonna pick the reusable one, and she just immediately touches it. It's like, is that hot water? So I just kept it on the table, and like one of the things that was funny about it is it stayed hot for so long. So later in the night, like, we're playing Jenga, and whenever somebody lost, I'd be like, you're getting too drunk, have some water. And I passed them the hot water, and every time I'd get a laugh, and I don't know why. It was the stupidest joke. But yeah, there was only one person, the postdoc in our lab, who I haven't met before, who really just was puzzled by it and didn't understand it, but everyone else just kind of thought it was funny.
Are you sure they were laughing with you, Adrian?
It was visibly, like, showing Steve. You could see it coming off the cuff. Oh my god. Anyways, oh yeah, and then Milan had a big victory after our disappointing Champions League exit, 5-1 over Sampdoria. And then, you know,
Do they ever give these guys a break?
Oh, it's not like it's basketball where they're playing like every other day or whatever, you know, which...
I mean, I don't feel like we're doing soccer season anymore, Adrian. I feel like I'm getting Milan updates constantly.
I'll tell you what, there is a legitimate argument about players are playing too many games in a year.
I feel like that.
Yeah. And that's about it. Anything interesting that happened to me this weekend? No, I had a lot of... It was a real phone call and FaceTime every weekend because I talked to Dora Lee for a long time, and then Phil's been FaceTiming me a lot because I think being single now, he's got a little extra time on his hands.
I would like to encourage our audience to start a write-in campaign, a text-in campaign, because I think a lot of you have Adrian's number. I'd like to encourage our audience to start a text Adrian campaign to watch Ted Lasso. We need to hear Adrian's opinion. A boy who loves soccer and comedy hasn't watched Ted Lasso yet.
I mean, you recommended it to me a long time ago, but I just remember being like, I'm not going to get Apple TV. Like, that's the barrier of entry for me.
All right. We also need a sponsor to pay for Adrian to have Apple TV.
Yeah, and I'm probably going to watch Severance first because I've heard it's actually good.
I started Severance. Didn't really impress me.
Really?
Yeah.
You were like Shania Twain?
I don't get that.
That don't impress me much.
You know, I feel like you could have jumped into that earlier. You know I'm not going to know a Shania Twain song.
I wanted to let you swim in that for a little bit. Just doggy paddle for a second, trying to figure it out. Cool. Anything else going on? Any interesting stuff this week or anything coming up?
I'm going to Portland next week.
Ooh, maybe we'll bring that back in for a third segment. Cool, that should be exciting. Do you want to get into the theme or anything? Did you have any media roundup? I didn't have any media roundup for this week. I did not watch Ted Lasso. I'm sorry.
I'm playing Tears of a Kingdom.
Pierce has been enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, I only play like one big video game a year. I try to make it like one of the biggest releases of the year because usually they're super polished games and it's fun to be a part of the cultural moment. So I don't know. Like, I mean, obviously probably one of the best games of the year and all that, but I, like I said, really only play those at this point. Like, it wasn't as good as the last one I played. Wasn't as good as Elden Ring. That's really my biggest review of it. It's also pretty clearly a kid's game. Like, the puzzles are fun, but a lot of the times, the hardest part of them is just, like, the finicky controls with, like, spinning the object. Because there's, like, this thing that lets you kind of, like, telekinesis move objects. And a lot of the puzzles are really easy. Like, they're made for kids, right? Like, a 12-year-old should be able to beat the game.
Yeah, and you're a little baby.
And I'm a little baby. So, like, as soon as you walk into a temple, you're like, oh, here's the solution they want me to do. And then I'm spending more time with my hands around the uncomfortable switch, getting a cramp, trying to make it, trying to get the finicky telekinesis power to orient an object perfectly to do what I know it wants me to do.
I see. Did you ever play video games as a kid where you had to look up solutions on how to do something? And second question, did you ever have to look up, like, ways to biohack because you couldn't physically do it?
I love that you used the phrase biohack. It took me a second to realize what you were talking about.
So I can give my example because that will probably explain it better. There's a challenge in Star Fox 64 where you're both pushing. It's when you're, like, in the more primitive, like, dinosaur village. And so there are these little dinosaurs, and they challenge you to a bunch of different things, but one of them is that they get their strong guy to, like, push a thing, and you have to push the other way to, like, I don't know, it's like tug of war, essentially, but you're pushing instead of pulling, with a thing that goes around in a circle. And the way that you do it mechanically is you press A as fast as you can, and I could never do it as a kid until I found a thing online that said if you get a spoon and just, like, shake the spoon over the A button, it'll read it as, like, really, really fast pressing of A, and that's how I finally beat that challenge.
I'm surprised it would read it as that. How do you shake a spoon so fast?
Like, you're, like, going up and you're, like, you're going over it a bunch. Like, you're using, like, the bevel of the spoon to just go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Interesting. Cool. Yes, I did use guides on some games when I was a kid. Yes. No, I don't
think the only time the only time I beat Fire Emblem on its hardest level, which I brought this in before, I think, but in Japan, all of them are one step up. So like they're easy. Our easy mode doesn't exist in Japan. Our normal mode is their easy mode. But I think I played like on like Insane or Hard or something like that for one of the really big ones. I think Radiant Dawn. And the only way I was able to beat it was that I just followed a step-by-step guide that told you what to do every turn. And I don't really know what enjoyment I got out of doing that because I was just following someone's instructions the whole time. But it felt cool to be that good at the game.
Isn't there an RNG element?
If you get a crit or something like that, then you know you might have to start over. Like stuff like that might change. But
okay, but yeah, you could start over. The only time I did anything similar to that was Skyrim. There was something that I think you had to jump a certain amount of times or walk a certain amount of time, or basically just be spellcasting for a certain amount of time to get like levels ups. And so what I did, I remember reading online, was like just tie a rubber band to the joystick and tape down the trigger. And then your character will be like walking and jumping or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then that will be like, you can just go do something else and your character will have jumped like 500 times. So it'll give you like, you've leveled up in your, you know, maneuverability or whatever.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I feel like there was probably stuff like that for Pokemon Eggs where you had to walk a certain number of steps. The only one I can think of that wasn't technically cheating is you get on your bike and just zoom around, but.
Oh, that counted. Wow.
I think so, if I remember correctly, at least for one of the games.
You know what? Can we talk about how annoying it was as a kid, like, to me emotionally, that you couldn't use a bike indoors in the Pokemon games when you'd pull it out and it would be like, you hear the words of Professor Oak, don't use your bike indoors.
Don't use your bike indoors. There's a time and place for everything. That's
well, you remembered it correctly. And I was always like, man, come on, though.
Why did you want a bike indoors? It's very rude.
It took so long to walk in those games.
You were able to sprint, I think. It wasn't like, after the first gen, they introduced the sprint mechanic.
I totally get playing the Pokemon games on an emulator where you can play them at times 16 speed. Everything in that game could happen much faster, and you're still basically playing the same game.
I like how the video game is about a guy who grew up in, like, rural Japan and loved bug collecting and exploring nature, and Paul's like, yeah, but can we speed it up a little bit? Come on.
Wait, you think that's what Pokemon is about? A rural Japanese
kid who loves
bug
exploration.
Collecting?
It's about enjoying nature and the beauty of life.
You think Pokemon is about bug collecting?
I said it was inspired by them, that it's about.
Inspired? I don't even think it was inspired by that.
That's literally the story.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh. You just turned a cool story about making monsters fight each other into some lame nerd shit. Congratulations, Adrian.
Wow, sorry. 6-time teams. Where do you got to be that you needed to do this at 16 times speed?
I feel like a lot of people agree with me. Can we get a text campaign going to text Adrian that he's a moron?
You can get a text campaign to Paul to tell him that friends don't call each other that.
Y'all, Adrian's crying now.
Shut up, man. Unrelated. I got allergies. That's what Dorley always used to say when she was crying in public.
Oh, wait, like, unironically? Like, she thought...
Yeah, so you're like, I got allergies. Apparently, Phil was stealing all of Wayne's fries when they were hanging out sometime last week, and every single time he went over to get more, he was like, I'm going through a breakup right now, man. I'm having a hard time. And he'd take another fry.
That's so funny. I love that.
No cap.
You know, I've never had an apple tea. I don't think I would like that flavor combo, but I do want to order it just because it seems like the coolest, funny drink.
Yeah. Phil got it because I think we had like a certain number of free drinks because we did a show. And he was like, what free drink should I get? Should I really ball out? And I was like, yeah, you could get like a martini or something.
I mean, shout out to Scrubs. That was always JD's drink.
You know, because when I was so big a fan of that when I was a kid, that was going to be when I turned 21, that's going to be my first drink that I order. It ended up not being it because I developed a taste for other things, but...
I think the first drink I ordered was just, like, a beer on tap.
You didn't want to do, like, a 7-7, like a...
Community?
Troy from, yeah.
No.
No. There was a while where I was pretty sure that my first drink was going to be an apple teeny. Heavy on the apple, light on the teeny.
How times have changed. Now it's like, you're a tryhard if you don't only drink, like, apple-flavored seltzers.
Hmm. Is that true?
I don't know, man. Whatever. Let me just say some bullshit sometimes, Adrian.
All right. Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, we have Politico fact check here.
Pants on fire, I'll tell you what. Okay, do you want to get into the theme?
Yeah.
All right. Facts. Interior design. Paul, do you want to describe the interior design of your room? I see that you've got some good feng shui going.
I don't have much in here. I don't have any wall art in my office.
Hmm. You don't have, like, a poster of a kitten on a tightrope that says, like, hang on tight, or whatever that thing is?
I think it's they just say hang on.
Oh, okay. Hang on.
Hang in there. That's what they
hang
say.
Hang in there. That's hang what it is, there. Yeah.
No, but yeah, I have, like, an edgelord version of that with, like, a person, like, in old Victorian England, like, at the gallows, and it says hang in there.
Ooh, now that's dark.
I'm like an edgy version of the people who have those hanging there cat posters. But what's the brand that's like that? That's just like the same. It's like the whale, but instead there's the like the edgy version of the brand where it shows that whale dead. It's like a blue whale.
Vineyard?
Vineyard, no. Yeah, Vineyard Vines. Okay. Is that what it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know about this parody thing.
There's like a whole brand that exists that's just a parody of that, where it's like the whale but dead.
Is that such an iconic thing that they needed to parody it?
Or maybe I've just seen multiple people buy the exact same parody shirt and they're all unlicensed. Maybe it's not a brand, but...
you don't think it's like that moment in high school where the North Face was so popular that someone came to school with the South Butt parody
that's
version
funny,
of that jacket?
Though. That's way funnier than the whale being dead.
Come on now. It's like, that's Mad TV, the South Butt's SNL. You know what I mean? There's just levels to this shit.
Wait, no, Mad TV's way better than SNL. Wait, which one do you think is better in this situation?
One has lasted longer.
Oh, okay, if you think that's the only good things in this world, then you must be for, what's the bad thing that's lasted long? Shit. Come Wait, on, never man. Mind, you might be right about this, it might just be good things that last.
Cream rises to the top, baby. Wait, were we talking about interior design?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel about your sense of interior design, Adrian? Do you feel like you would benefit from having a more stylish friend come and help organize, or do you think you have a good eye for it?
No, I'm very utilitarian. I've always had to work with small spaces, so like 90% of the decisions I make are based on where my bed is, where the outlets are, and whether or not my desk fits in certain places.
Yeah, I think for bedrooms, it's often really obvious where the bed was intended to go by the architect. That decision's usually done for you.
You know, I actually have a really hot take where I hate beds in the middle of bedrooms. I always like for my bed to be tucked in a corner, like on a corner. But
yeah, but
a lot of times,
like a little gremlin goblin.
See, that's what
guy.
People don't like that. It's a very good space. It's bad for space to just have your bedroom just like with your
bed. Yeah, because
the
two aisles.
Yeah,
it's
what are you
kind
do
of
with
a
that?
Waste of space. But I will say, like, when you're in a couple, it makes way more sense than having one person be inaccessible to get up and out of bed.
Ah, come on. You can climb over each other.
That's why I always get an extra bouncy mattress, so you could just get up and jump and do it, get over the other person. I will say, I hate it when it looks really obvious that the bed's supposed to be in a certain spot of the room, but that spot has like a low window. So it's like, I don't want to half cover up the window. I don't know. Sometimes that really ends up annoying me.
Half cover up the... Oh, I see. Okay.
Because of the back of the bed with the bed frame, what would you call it? The
headboard?
The headboard is poking up over the window. And then it's like, doesn't really look right.
Look at money bags over here with a headboard and a bed frame.
Yeah, money bags. Adrian, are you all right, man?
You know, when I ordered my last mattress, I thought I ordered a bed frame with it, but I apparently didn't. And I was just like, all right, well, I guess that's not going to happen. I was like, this is already more than I want to pay for something. So I'm definitely not going to also add a bed frame now, too.
I'm not going to lie to you. As a child, I always like struggled conceptually with what a headboard was like supposed to do. I always thought they looked stupid and bad.
Have you ever had a favorite piece of furniture? I really like the desk that I have now. I got it in an antique store. It's very, very big. There's so much real estate on it, but it's also very light, so it's very easy to move if you want to. Oh, and I think I talked about this before, but in terms of interior design, I'm so not devoted to a particular style or philosophy that I think I've told you before that, like, I used to every 6 months just change up my entire room just to, like, change up vibes and stuff and see if I liked it better. I haven't done that recently because I just don't have the energy for it anymore, but also because I think I found the optimal setup for this room. But when I move again, I'll probably might go back to that. Who knows?
You're not a feng shui guy. When you move in somewhere, do you make sure that the windows are all facing east and the door is facing south?
I don't think I know how to do that. I don't think I have control over that.
Apparently, that's a thing with, like, certain extra spiritual people.
Have you ever been to a friend's place where you're like, damn, this is a really good interior design in here?
Yes, and have you ever had that exact same thought, but the person is young enough that you feel ashamed that their interior design is so good? You're like, oh, you're living the type of life that makes me feel bad.
No, I don't think I've had that before. I'm not hanging out with a lot of minors.
I did. It's funny. That recently came up, and I told the person, I told her about that, and she was like, oh, how old did you think I was? I was like, oh, I thought you were like 23. And she's like, no, I'm 25. I was like, oh, that's actually a lot better. Thank you. That makes me feel a lot better about my place.
You know, I haven't had that happen a lot, but I have had that happen a lot with like Zoom. And if people Zoom from their like work office or whatever, and you're like, damn, they have so many more plants than I do. And like, they got like nice lighting and stuff. It's usually women, but I will say that also women can fall into the trap of like Target chic. So it's a lot of like, yeah, like white and gold and plants. And it's like, I mean, technically it looks okay, but like, I wouldn't want to live here.
Yeah.
It's not like Phil's college dorm where it was, you know, black light posters and like tapestry and all that shit.
Oh, God, I remember that place. The vibes were fucked.
Mm-hmm. The Rage Cage. It was fun. Also, I remember when Justin's girlfriend came to our house for the first time and she called me a basic white girl for having a tapestry.
Yeah, people took issue with that too when I put one up in college, but it was definitely because the walls of my place were so gross. I felt like I had to cover every inch of that room in something, and a tapestry really helped cover a good chunk of wall.
Do kids not do that anymore? Was that really of our time? Or
I think Instagram really coded it a lot more gendered than like it was when I thought of it maybe more as a druggy thing at a certain point.
Yeah.
But I think by the time we were late in college, the idea of tapestry was like very like edited by Instagram to be gendered, not drug influenced.
Ain't that the way it works? White women take our things.
Yeah, white women white women really are the new stoners. Don't think about that one too much.
But it's true. Okay, cool. Any other last thoughts about interior design? Are you worried about when you move in with another person about having clashes of style?
No.
Are you going to try and take over the living room?
No. Have you ever beefed with anybody about clashing interior design styles, Adrian?
No. But, I mean, I did have to do a thing with, like, I think I've told you this before. And also, I realize we don't get a lot of feedback on the podcast anymore, but I feel like one of the things I should be getting feedback on is I keep saying whether or not I've said something before. But I do know for sure that I've said this before, that when I moved in with Tin, his living room was empty except for two lawn chairs facing each other. So there was a lot of work to do and not a lot of, like, arguments over putting more stuff in there.
Men will really live like this.
It was basically that meme, and then, you know, Tin would be like, well, I think it's crazy that you guys can't be happy with just two lawn chairs facing each other.
Wait, he's so definitely in the wrong. That's such a funny point to try to stake out a contrary point.
He would make that point, but that is what people say about that meme when people see it, is like, man, it's so sad that y'all need all this stuff to feel happy or whatever.
yeah, we're the weird ones. It's just consumerism that's warped our brains into wanting nice, livable spaces.
It's pure ideology.
Pure ideology.
Yeah, cool. All right.
Oh, one last point. I don't fuck with knickknacks. Don't overdo the knickknacks on a shelf at something in a living room. That's bedroom, playroom, or like somewhere else. But I don't need it all over a living room. I don't need Funko Pops and
I agree with that.
And little statues.
Well,
and little
I'm generally against Funko Pop, so you know how I feel about that.
But I mean, stuff in that vein, like super
like a Bulbasaur plushie and like a Spider-Man poster.
I think that stuff can have a place being displayed in a house, but it should be in a room or like a place that's maybe a little bit more targeted towards like.
I mean, in our dining room where we used to do all the board games and stuff right next to it in our dining room table first year of grad school, we did have an entire glass cabinet of like figurines for Dungeons and Dragons and other stuff that was like 3D printed and painted and stuff like that.
I think that stuff can look cool. It just has to feel like it's in the right place. And I don't think you should have like, I don't think I would want my living room to be that whimsical. Like, that seems more like maybe, like, next to your desk or something like that. Like, where you play games. Study. Yeah.
In the foyer.
In the foyer.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the design of the human body on the inside?
You're telling me they put...
And don't say the Neil deGrasse Tyson quote.
And you're telling me they put a recreation center right next to the waste... Right next to the waste. Right next to the
sewage system?
The sewage system.
And they call that intelligent design?
Also, they put our brains right next to our eyes. I don't need to see shit. Put my brains closer to my mouth. You know I need to talk more.
Hey, come on. Put that brain next to my dick. I need some mind motor control over this dick. All right, well, that was very insightful about your opinions of the...
What's up with the fact that we don't have any droids in our deck? How cool would it be if you could take left turns? You know what I'm saying?
Come on, now. Come on. But sometimes you get a big curve to the left, you know? Sometimes that's just how God made you.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Solidarity with all our curved dick brothers and sisters.
All right, cool. You want to go to columns?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Poe. The age-old question, red pill, blue pill?
I'm going to live in innocence and do your column.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Interesting how you choose the first half when we don't have a third segment and ran long on the first part. Interesting.
Yeah. I'm trying to play the game on this one, buddy. I'm not embarrassed by it.
I'm still going to get your half at 8 p.m. on Thursday. All right. So this is from April 1st, 2023. So my birthday of this year. We're bringing it back. Old slate. Old reliable. Dear Prudence, this time it's Janae Desmond-Harris. Help, my creative, quote-unquote, boyfriend has a frustrating policy when it comes to our home. Here we go. Real nice and simple. Dear Prudence, I just moved in with my boyfriend of 8 months. This is quicker than I'd normally move in with someone, but I had problems with an awful landlord, and my boyfriend just bought a house. Things have been going really well, except for one issue. My boyfriend's hobby is woodworking, and he plans to furnish the house exclusively with pieces he builds himself. He's really talented, but has limited time due to a demanding job, so one piece can take him months. In the meantime, we are going without a lot of furniture, sleeping on a mattress on the floor, eating dinner on the floor, etc. I have offered to pay for secondhand furniture to use until he finishes replacements, but my boyfriend claims that living with substandard furniture will quote-unquote pollute his imagination. He has lots of odd views about things, which 99% of the time I find funny and endearing, but can make it difficult to reason with him on occasion. Should I insist on temporary furniture? It is his house, and he was kind to let me move in rent-free, so I'm not sure if it's within my rights. And after a lot of rocky dating history, I don't want to start an argument with a guy who could be, quote-unquote, the one. But I also don't want to spend the next couple of years making friends sit in a circle on the floor when I throw a dinner party. From Shareless. Look, we got married to Nick Offerman over here. Come on.
I mean, I see why she feels a little awkward about it, but also, like, he said yes to you moving in. I think once you say yes to somebody moving in, you've made the agreement that it is going to be a shared space. If he said yes to you...
For someone who doesn't pay rent.
Ooh, that is tough. Why wouldn't she try to pay rent so that it could be a more equitable situation? I guess because he owns the house, so that's a little awkward.
She's not looking a gift horse in the mouth. That's just going straight to his mortgage or whatever.
Yeah. It is a little awkward, but I do think if you have somebody move in, it is the implication is usually that they're an equal partner in that sort of like move-in situation.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I do think she has a right to decorate the place. Also, it doesn't hurt that his logic for why his reasoning for why she shouldn't get to decorate is so stupid.
What do you think he's working on first?
He's working
on their utensil organizer.
That's literally what I was gonna say. What if it was like the smallest thing? Like a month later, he comes to you and he's finished the spoon. And like, wait, when are we gonna get a bed? And he's like, honey, we gotta start somewhere.
You gotta start somewhere.
Babe, come on. He wants to make all his own furniture. Admirable, but it just really seems like why would seeing other furniture ruin your vision?
Substandard furniture, too. He basically said anything you'd buy would be shit.
Well, I think because the implication being because she wanted temporary furniture, so that makes it sound like cheap IKEA stuff.
All furniture is temporary.
That's beautiful, man.
Mm-hmm.
But not true. His shit's gonna last generations.
The greatest illusion of all is impermanence. That's a Buddhist proverb.
You mean permanence?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I misread it. God damn, I got that tattooed on me.
I was gonna say, I was like, maybe I'm wrong and it's one of those words like flammable, where inflammable means the same thing.
That I learned that from The Simpsons, so they do both mean the same thing. I think it's Dr. Nick that tells you that in the episode. Did you know that flammable and inflammable mean the same thing? Does it make a difference that his original plan was to go through this alone without having another person affected by his lack of furniture?
Does
that
it?
Originally it was just the meme of him being like, I'm happy living with my TV on the floor, my bed on the floor.
Oh, come on. You think a guy who's going to put a bunch of handmade furniture in his house is going to build a TV cabinet? No, he's mounting his TV. He's drilling right into that drywall.
But then he doesn't get the experience of making a TV stand. And what if he's like you in your old apartment, where he's like, I'm going to make a TV stand that's just 1 centimeter wide enough to fit the TV that's going on it.
No, it was 1 centimeter too small. The leg kind of tipped over just a little bit, enough to make you kind of terrified all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
That was fun. I kind of liked that.
I really lived on the edge back then.
You know, I felt a thrill every day. I mean, I know for sure if you're going to take this deal, you better put him on a timeline. There's no way you could take this deal and then be like, okay, and then just let it. Because I feel like you start out with great plans to whittle another chair every week, but like
that's... He's a woodworker, not a whittler.
Nah, I know.
If she's not paying rent, it could be a good ultimatum to just be like, hey, I've saved up enough money. I'm going to go move out until you get this place furnished, and then we'll come back and move in together.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like you are in a weird in-between, though, because it is like, if you move in with somebody, it should be half your place. But it does seem like you only moved in because it was like, oh, we're doing a special thing because my landlord's a jerk, and we wouldn't really live together. It's just so convenient. So then it makes it feel like, oh, you're not really saying it's half my place. You're doing me a solid by letting me move in.
It's also weird that she didn't come in with any furniture to... why is she offering to buy secondhand furniture instead of being like, I have a dining room table and I have like a kitchen table? The other thing I was thinking about was, I don't know if this is something that's even on your radar, but you know how like, you know, general consensus really starts to... change over time in a visible way. The way that that's going for me right now is that anytime people post on the ecology grad student listserv about housing and they're recommending their old place, it's only just now started that everyone caveats, well, the landlord's really nice as far as landlords go. And then they'll go on with the rest of it. And I love that that's finally making the rounds on like every day, like, here's the post about my place or whatever. And it's like, damn, that's funny. I'm glad the tide's changing, but I do love that that's like a thing people feel like they have to tiptoe around now. As far as feudal lords go, this landlord's all right. He's always been responsive to our needs. And the thing about inviting guests over seems like a really reasonable concern.
Yeah.
That'd be really embarrassing and weird to have to explain.
Have you ever been over to, been over to a guy friend's house and he's like, oh yeah, sorry, I don't have bowls, cups, or forks. I mostly just drink out of my one big canteen. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I've seen that before.
It is weird to not care about, like, I don't know. Like, I guess those people just sit on their beds. And
yeah, I guess so.
I also think one of the scarier parts of the implication is that they're eating out so much that they just don't need plates, cups, or silverware.
Oh, yeah, that is a big thing. They do like doing that. And then they're wondering why they can't afford a house like this guy, you know what I mean? All that avocado toast. All right, do you want to read the answer?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Wait, do we give advice besides just the fact that this is fucked up? Dump him, honey.
I think it would be different if he had a better excuse. I could see why. Mm-hmm. If, like, there was something like, oh, I don't want to furnish it because anything better than it's going to ruin my vision.
Yeah. I'm making the chairs in a way that makes them not damage the floors, and any other cheaper thing is going to damage the floors the entire time.
That would even kind of make me feel like, okay, wait, yeah, you are moving in as a favor to you. Like, you should respect that wish.
I say withhold sex, try and move out, and use that as an ultimatum, and dump him, honey. All right. Dear Chairless, I don't think it's the possibility of an argument that puts his potential the one status at risk. It's his being stubborn, difficult to reason with, and disinterested in your comfort. I'm sure there's a woman out there who would be happy to live without a place to sit so this guy's creativity could thrive, but it's clearly not you, and I don't think it ends here. Do you want to spend the rest of your life wondering whether your request to live like a modern human and other reasonable needs are within your rights? There really aren't a lot of rights in relationships because you can't make anyone do anything. So if you're going down this path, you're not in a great place. You want to be partnered with someone who cares about how you feel and is open to compromise. I'm not sure how clear you've been with him about your needs, but make sure he understands how important this is to you and see if he changes his mind. If not, it might be time to start thinking about a move to a home and a relationship where you can be a little more comfortable. Hey, dear Prudy, dump him, honey. Dump him, honey. Dump him, honey. Dump him, honey.
Hey, that's a dump him, honey bell I had installed in my room. I'm joking. That was me making a silly sound. You know it was a dump him, honey gong. Dump.
All right, cool. What'd you think of that?
She was way harsher than we were on the guy. I felt like we gave him more deference to the idea of, like, you know, he's doing her a favor, so it is more his place. Prudy did not say that at all. She was like, nah, you should be able to get what you want.
Prudy don't fuck with that, bro.
But good answer overall. I don't really have any problems with it.
Hey, we got a fucking Family Feud contestant over here. Good answer, good answer.
Good answer. Oh, when are we finally going to do our Judge Steve Harvey episode? We're letting Jarvis Johnson beat us to Judge Steve Harvey content.
It's his second channel. It's not his first channel.
What's his first channel? It's not the one with Jarvis Johnson.
Oh. Yeah, I think it's just Jarvis Johnson. I like how we both got that recommendation, though. I think we're both enough in the Steve Harvey lore. All right, cool. Do you want to get into your article, Paul?
Yeah, I brought in House and Garden UK's Dear Fiona.
Ooh, oh, that's a beautiful name.
Dear Fiona, I've been seeing this guy for about 3 months, and it has been going really well. And I was excited about seeing his flat, as he talked it up
a bit. Oh, that is British.
And has been describing himself as interested in design. Well, disaster. His flat is horrible. It's not just that we have different tastes. He has awful taste. And he thinks it's good. He told me that an interior designer helped him with his kitchen. On closer questioning, oh, this is one of those funny things where the word kitchen is hyperlinked that we always point out in articles. Like, what could that possibly be linked to? The definition of the word kitchen?
The Wikipedia page for a kitchen?
On closer questioning, it transpires that he gave the salesperson in the kitchen shop free rein. And it's like they used it as a testing ground for all the different countertop and floor options that they have, to the extent that it's a hodgepodge nightmare. There's even an inset marble carpet underneath the kitchen table, which means that you can't move the kitchen table, and it's in a totally stupid spot. And don't even get me started on the art or lack of it. It transpires his collection extends to a couple of Yayoi Kusama prints and a Jeff Koons balloon dog edition. I like chintz and chair skirts and vintage butcher's blocks and 19th century oil paintings. And he likes his cowhide-covered Le Corbusier lounge chair. Corbusier?
Oh, I don't know. These are all modern artists, but Kusama looks... She goes pretty hard, based on what I'm looking at her stuff now.
Yayao Kusano? Kusama,
yeah.
I like chintz and chair skirts and vintage butcher's blocks and 19th century oil paintings, and he likes cowhide-covered Le Corbusier lounge chairs. Do we have a future? Could we ever live together? My friends think I'm being ridiculous, but I'm genuinely concerned. Not least because he makes me laugh, and kitchen aside, I'd say we're a good match. Signed, Love's Not Blind, when it comes to interiors.
Ooh. You're roasted.
Her taste seems really stupid, I'm not gonna lie. It's gonna be my first point.
What did she say? Woodblocks and vintage bullshit?
Yeah, 19th century oil paintings? Ooh, I don't want to feel like I'm in a hunting lounge for a guy who exclusively hunts humans.
Mm-hmm. The world's most dangerous game.
Also, let me Google, are chair skirts what I think? Is that when you have, like, those uncomfortable, like, poofy chairs and they have, like, a skirt underneath them? I hate those, too.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't know if that's what it is, but is that what it is?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah. So she doesn't like that or she does like that?
She does like that. She considers that part of her good taste. And classy stuff.
Oh, honey. Honey, no. Honey.
I'm not gonna lie to you, I think I might be on this guy's side. I think he might be the one with the
good
taste in my
eyes. The guy was also, what, cowhide and some other things? But, I mean, I wasn't into that either. Bad. Yeah, it sounds like they both have bad taste. God, taste is so subjective. I don't know.
The balloon dog, if that's what I think it is, too. That's really ugly.
Balloon dog. Work. Overtime.
Yeah, it is. It's like that, it's like...
Oh, that, yeah. Like, modern art piece?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's gross. That's stupid.
I think they're both on extreme ends of interior
design.
They're
both very loud in their ideas, and they're both very gaudy to me.
You know what, his taste sounds like to me? When Joey moves into his own apartment and Friends.
Mm-hmm. He gets the dog statue?
He gets the dog statue. He gets, like, the... mirror that looks like it's raining inside of it, or the glass. He gets like all like a tack animal print couch and all that. Sounds like that's what the guy likes, and what she likes is recreations of Versailles.
Ooh, yeah. I don't think either of them have particularly good taste, but I don't know.
I mean, I would rather live in her house.
I don't know which one I'd rather live in. I'd have to actually see them. But. I don't know. It just feels like they both have louder taste than I do, which is always going to be hard for me to judge. Because, like, I would like a plain blue couch over, like, most any kind of designed couch.
The fact that she specifically said chair skirts, sofas with legs on them, hate them. Can't, like, I want a couch, not a sofa, like, in any house. Mm.
Is that the difference?
I don't know if that's the difference, but I guess I would never call the other one a couch. You know what I'm saying? Mm.
You want it to sit flat on the floor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or it doesn't necessarily have to be flat on the floor, but if it has legs, like, it can't be, like, ornate legs that lift it up really high to the point where you feel like you have to only sit in it. Like, I want something I can lay down in and...
Oh, you want something you can just hop into.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, something you can dive into. I guess that makes sense, but then you can't lose anything underneath your couch if you got really high legs.
That is true. Yeah, you can see right... Well, that's what the skirt's for, so you can still lose things.
Yeah, that's true. So you can still... So that there's still mystery in your life. Plus, you got the cushion still. What was, I think Phil was talking to me about how... Because we were doing interior decorating, that's how we came up with this theme. And he was showing me his new couch, and the new couch is fine. It's like another L couch, because he loves L couches. But he was talking about how, like, my dream house would have... One of those 70s style dens where, like, for some reason and for no reason at all, it's just 1 foot below.
It dips into the ground?
Yeah, for one reason, no reason at all. It's just 1 foot below everything else.
Dude,
and
those
then you
are
have...
so ugly, but I do kind of love how ugly
and
they are.
And then for some reason, your couch is just one big circle that people have to climb into with, like, an open space in the middle. And I was like, honestly, it goes hard. I'm kind of into it, man, with, like, a nice shag carpet. I was telling him that, like, there's a professor in my department who's, when we have dinners at his house, that's what it looks like. And it's, like, such a vibe.
I don't like it for myself to live in, but I would snatch up an Airbnb with that in a second. Like, I want to experiment with that in my life.
Okay, so you're curious.
Yes.
You're den curious.
That is such a funny choice. And that really is more like this guy's taste in interior design, something that loud and tacky and modern.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess not modern, right? That's like 70s type shit, yeah. That's like when Eric Foreman was growing up in the 70s. Come on. Oh, yeah. So what was the advice? Is she saying that they should break up over this or that she should try and change him? Or what was she asking?
Yeah, it was, is this like a big deal? Because I think we're really compatible, but I do think his taste is really bad. Do we have a future? Could we ever live together?
God, I really don't want to get MRA about this because obviously I don't believe in that. But to be fair, if you guys moved in together and you guys started decorating a place together, pretty much everyone in your life and everyone in his life would tell him you have to do what your wife wants you to do. And so it would be like, it would be a thing where if you guys started decorating a place together and he had strong opinions, his friends would be like, hey, man, when I got married, I had to get rid of the Ferrari. I had to get rid of my dogs playing poker posters. You know, that's what it is about getting married. You know, the wife, she always wins, you know. So I think if you're in that situation, you're probably going to win out. I don't know how dedicated he is to this style. And like every voice in his life is going to be telling him that he should be submissive to what you want to do stylistically.
I do think what's funny about this is there's no, like, compromise here. There's no middle ground between their two tastes.
Oh, no, it would be terrible. That'd be the worst. Unless you do duct tape through the middle of the room. And then...
Could you imagine how funny that would be, though, if that was their solution to it? And one piece his, one piece yours. You guys mixed furniture.
If they actually just did, like, you can pick whatever. You can do the bed frame, but I get to pick the next thing.
An antique armoire that she brings to the house, but he's putting his balloon dog on top of it.
She does a living room based on the fact that everyone's supposed to sit around and talk to each other, and he puts a 70-inch flat screen right on the wall. I gotta watch the big game.
I wonder, would she be happier with, like, a neon Bud Light sign guy? And I think the answer is yes, because that guy would be more easily bullied than this guy who thinks he has good taste.
Oh, I forgot about that part of the question, is that he pitched himself as, that is gonna make it more difficult. Ooh, that might actually be an issue then. You guys might just not be able to rectify this one. Or you could do that thing that some people do where you guys have separate bedrooms.
And yeah, then, let's not be ridiculous. Rooms. Half and half on one room would look really ugly. What should happen is every time you open a door in this house, you should feel like a time traveler.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever experiment with trying... Actually, I already know the answer. You didn't. But I remember in sixth grade, Ben got permission from his parents to paint one of his walls with paint that becomes like a chalkboard, so you can like do chalk art on your wall. And I think I thought about trying to convince my parents to let me do one that makes into like a dry erase board. But yeah, I remember doing that.
That doesn't seem like it would work as well as the chalk
paint. I have no idea. I mean, it didn't stick around. I don't think people are doing that now. But yeah, the chalk paint was really interesting. I remember me and Mark going over and playing on it for a while.
Yeah, I remember Sean Sprott had one of those in his house too.
That makes sense. Sean did have a heat. Now that's a lower den type guy. That's a 70s type guy right there.
Parents were that.
Kid had a fucking waterbed and everything.
Their house was so funny, man. I loved it. They had like a whole room for their Disney VHSs.
They're just like seven cages of birds all around.
Those birds fucking pissed me off so much. Fuck those birds.
Really? The thing that I hated about his bedroom and sleeping over with him was that he had a clock with a audible tick. And I hate audible ticks.
I remember
every
that. That's so funny, yeah.
That's the fucking worst. Plus, like, why get a waterbed if you know your kid's not going to be fucking?
That's the perfect time to get a waterbed. You know they're not going to break it. Okay, advice. You need to find a way to make him believe his taste is bad without being the one to tell him so you don't ruin the relationship.
Get him queer-eyed.
Adrian, sometimes we're just talking and talking, and I'm just yapping sometimes and yapping.
Sometimes we're just yapping and yakety-yak-yak.
And then you come out of nowhere, and you just, like, it's like a dart. Right through the fog, you know? It's like a ray of sunshine bursting through the clouds. It's like, obviously.
I know that's not a phrase, but I love a dart right through the fog. It's a real vivid imagery.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know which one's the design guy. I know there's a style guy. I don't know
there's a house guy, yeah.
Oh, there's a house guy. Okay, I know there's the diet guy.
Mm-hmm.
Diet there's and like exercise a guy.
Lifestyle guy.
There's the pretty one. And there's the smart one. There's five of them, right? Can we actually get what all
is there? Like a skincare guy? I feel like that should be part of it.
Just
but that
for
might
skincare,
just be the...
you think he's getting paid six figures to talk about? Oh, you should probably use this thing instead of this thing.
Okay, Adrian, make their job seem simpler than it is. That's not toxic masculinity. For
you got
you.
Respect for a dermatologist, bro?
Yeah, I mean, he looks at your skin like, oh, you're oily type, so you should be using these products. Or like, oh, you don't have time in the morning to be putting on these products, so here's the one or two, like, essentials.
There are startup websites that do curations like that for you with a quiz.
Yeah, there's also startup websites that tell you what good, like, what you should wear if you're a basic white guy who just wants to wear your Timex.
Why are you making fun of Justin? Why are you making fun of Justin right now? That's...
Like, yeah, they have that for fashion, too, but you're still going to be better off with one of the Queer Eye guys.
All right, point conceded, point conceded.
Why don't they have one of the Queer Eye guys who teaches
you how to be... Are you going to feel bad if there isn't a skincare guy now? You're just imagining, you're just defending some imaginary person that you come up with?
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's one of the guys. I was going to say,
yeah, they and then, like, have... one of the guys teaches you, like, ancient poetry, I think, because everyone needs that skill.
Should I read the answer?
Yeah.
Dear Love's Not Blind, firstly, we've all been there. Have we all been there? But okay. Firstly, we've all been
actually,
there.
Oh, actually, if we want, can we tell personal stories about that?
Yeah.
Let me think. The one thing that I was disappointed in with my high school girlfriend is that she had zebra print curtains, and I hate animal print of any sort.
Yeah.
So I thought they were really tacky. Other people who I've been romantically involved with, maybe like... It's just a little too college dormy, like they just didn't have enough stuff in their room. Or I think one person, it was a combination of not having enough like real stuff and having too many trinkets. And then I think other people, I don't think I've ever had like too big of an issue with like the way they choose to decorate or do things.
Oh, how have you felt about my places? You've been to a couple of my places.
No one's ever had like a beanbag chair, one of those chairs where it's like a hand that's like up like that, you know, one of those cool things. Your place is...
The painting's a little too low. Yeah, I get it.
The painting above the monitors is way too low and should be higher.
Yeah, I agree.
Other than that, I didn't understand why there was like a fish painting in your bathroom. I didn't understand what the bathroom theme was.
That, or if that's it had all a separate theme. Too, man. If I tried to put anything in there, he would veto it.
Really? If you put in like a thing that's like, pee, you, stinky, like a lady just looking at you?
Look, I tried to get our bathroom to have one of those things that's like, how can a man who could hit a deer from 500 yards not hit a urinal right under him?
That's so funny that that exists. That's so cool. Other places, I really liked the place that you guys lived at in Plaza Midwood.
Yeah, that place also worked the best with the furniture we had. Like, it just had to.
I liked that.
I'm still haunted by a memory of framed Banksy posters, a vast leather beanbag, and a profusion of terrariums. Secondly, we don't think you're being ridiculous. It's been proven that our surrounds have an impact on our mental health. Weird place to not grammatically realize that surroundings.
No, they're British. Right. You don't understand, mate.
Oh, it's our surroundings.
It's a different conjugation, right? Yeah.
It's quite normal to want to live surrounded by stuff you believe to be beautiful. And thus, to give the aesthetic match serious thought. Before my now husband asked me to marry him, he took me on a constructive tour of antique shops and then to IKEA to check that we'd want the same sort of kitchen cabinets. That's psychotic.
Mm.
The question is how, in a few months, you might potentially navigate the chasm that appears to exist between chintz-covered armchairs with skirts and cowhide-covered Le Corbusier. The first option, and we mentioned this, because in your longer letter, you explained that your friends think you're being ridiculous because they reckon you simply redecorate by stealth. That's what we all do. Wait, there was a longer letter she didn't publish? Why not just publish that part if you were going to specifically mention it?
Sometimes when you're angry, you'll write a letter and throw it away. I learned that from Oprah.
Is to do as they suggest and rely on those tired and generalized gender norms. Oh, whoa, your advice.
Oh, damn. Okay, MRA, baby!
Then you concede jurisdiction of the aspect of your interior that are big and important, but don't have significant aesthetic impact. For instance, the mattress and the white goods. What are white goods?
I don't know. Is that a store?
Fridges, stoves, that sort of thing. I clicked on the...
I like those better in black.
While in return, he will give up input into the decorative details. We all know of many, many deliriously happy couples who have simple arrangements, similar arrangements. And it works wonderfully for them, even if it does sound a bit archaic, says Bertie Hall. But it's got its roots in our origins. When men went out hunting for a mammoth and women found accompanying berries...
Wait, she's going evolutionary psychologist? Yo, that's so hard.
The most reliable of the sciences.
Leave it to Turf Island to do that.
And made the cave look nice. Birdie and I are both aware that recent research has challenged the fact that men did all the hunting. Let me emphasize the earlier use of the word generalized. Oh, I like that. I thought it was like a joke at first that she was doing evolutionary psychology, but she kind of doubled down on like, yeah, I know it's not good science, but like it's good enough science.
That's a framework, I suppose. Little didgeridoozy.
There were a couple of caveats, though. The first being that the approach will only work if your new boyfriend isn't actually that into interiors, but said that he was because he thought it would appeal to you, judging by the fact that he absolved himself of creative control of the kitchen and that he's gone for the safety of recognized names in art and design, this scenario is not beyond the realm of possibility. The second thing is that it won't give you anybody to discuss interiors with, to go to auction houses with, and to buy art with, which is something you mentioned in your letter as wanting. Why did they not publish 90% of what she's replying to? What the
Yeah, what's up with that? Ooh-wee. What up
Okay,
with
this
that?
Actually goes on and on. Let me see if anything's important.
What up with that? What up with that?
Talk to him about your different taste, about... Man, they are really obsessed with this, and I'm sure I'm going to mispronounce it for the third time, Le Corbusier lounge chair.
Hmm.
Okay, let's Google this. Maybe that is the chair with the hand. That'd be really funny.
Ooh, that would be cool. But it was cowhide covered? Ain't no cow I ever seen, I'll tell you that.
Oh, it looks like a dentist chair, but it is often covered in cowhide? Yeah, that is really ugly, goddamn.
But it's expensive.
Mentions other couples who've argued about interior design. But that other couple that argued about interior design, when they worked together, their combined style defined the post-war country house look. Oh, well, you feel stupid now, Adrian. Turns out when people disagree about interior design, Nancy Lancaster and John Fowler defined a whole style.
You're saying we can still disagree and live together in peace?
Well, until the Fire Nation attacks.
Yeah, as if you also didn't say that was a bad idea. I guess that's just on me. I guess that's how that works. Impulse, short memory.
Comparably, you may not always feel such fondness for a chair skirt. You might even develop an appreciation of cowhide, which, incidentally, can be paired with chintz. In fact, the tension between the two may well add to your interior. Then
is
a Yayawi Kasama print.
It's about the furniture you don't put in there.
Then a Yayawi Kasama print or two could liven up a salon hang of predominantly 19th century oils, and your boyfriend might decide that his balloon dog looks best against a Bowood backdrop. You don't mention the addition's color, but a silver version might really pop against the more muted gray and green.
This sounds ridiculous right now.
In summation, an interior devised by both of you could just be brilliant in all sorts of unexpected ways, and it will evolve, as all interiors do, into something that is representative of you both, something that might even be greater than the sum of your parts. Of course, in the immediate, there's still that kitchen. Have you considered an actual, as opposed to inset, rug? And that's how the article ends.
Specific.
Very specific.
Very specific. Good? Question mark?
No. Exclamation point.
Ooh. Damn.
Yeah, I wouldn't dump somebody over this, but it seems like they know a lot about interior design. It seems like this is a way bigger part of their life than it is for me and you.
Well, I mean, it's good that that's the person right to the advice column to, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, Paul, third segment. Do you want to tell me what's going on?
Yeah, let's jump into it. Yeah, of course. As always, we've got a great third segment for you guys. Here's our third segment for today. And I didn't just think of this on the spot and decide to pitch it to you. Do you remember, we've often talked about
things. Yeah, we've talked about this, so we can say it at the same time. One, two, three.
White House facts.
Oh, yeah. About how it changes in between presidents?
Yeah, you remember as a child when, for whatever reason in elementary school, we've talked recently about, like, why did they think, like, the history of basketball was so important to teach us? Mm-hmm. Did you ever think the same thing about the White House, Adrian? Like, why?
Who was the big fat guy who knew the big tub?
Exactly. Like, why did they think it was so important to teach us about the design decisions in the White House as a part of U.S. history? Why was that at all crucial to my development as a human?
Why did Biden have to take out all of the gold toilets from Trump's presidency?
I wanted to see how much of that you've retained. So we're going to do a White House fascinating facts quiz for you.
Okay. And WHFFQ?
Yeah.
Okay.
What other city originally had a presidential palace to tempt George Washington and others to stay?
Philadelphia.
Ding, ding, ding.
Too easy. That's not really an interior design question, but I do like it.
Who was our first president to live in a White House? In the White House.
Oh, I do know that, but I don't know that. Is it Jackson?
No, it was John Adams, our second president. George Washington passed away 1 year before the White House was completed.
Oi, oi, oi.
Which president originally installed the West Wing?
The show?
The show was famously set there.
Oh. Woodrow Wilson.
No, William Howard Taft and FDR.
Oh, Taft was the fat guy one, right?
And Teddy Roosevelt would have been an acceptable answer. They all expanded.
Wait, both Roosevelts? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which president in the 20th century was forced out of the White House and forced to live in the Blair House after officials decided the aging White House was close to collapse? The White House was nearly condemned this year.
This is my least favorite part of trivia, is the presidential trivia. I'm going to say Hoover?
Truman.
Not far off. It's pretty close.
Which famous piece of White House trivia is lost because in 1972, a group of Freemasons got too drunk to remember where it was?
Oh, wait. Memorabilia or trivia?
I mean, trivia for something that is located in the White House, and somebody lost it there, and it's never been found.
The cat?
They placed a cornerstone to mark as the first stone of the White House, and they inscribed it. And then they all got drunk and forgot to, like, remember which one was the first stone.
But if it's inscribed, can't you go find it?
But nobody's been able to find it. One theory is that it's embedded between two stones near the Rose Garden. Okay, let's do a couple more. What year was it first called the White House?
1816.
1901 by Theodore Roosevelt.
Ah, well, fuck me and my big ol' ass. Of course, he was the one who called it the White House. What did people call it before?
The President's House.
Okay, the President's his house?
The Flippity Floop?
The President's easy?
Which president played a prank on the incoming president by having every W key removed from 30 to 60 computer keyboards and taped them all to a wall?
Obviously, that was sad. was that Bill Clinton?
Yes, that was Bill Clinton.
Hey!
Staffers, at least, playing a prank. How many people work full-time at the White House?
This is an interior design question. Okay, people who work full-time at the White House?
Mm-hmm.
74.
3,000.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that's where my taxes are going?
Shoulder to shoulder? What's going on in there?
How does that even work? Groundskeepers, dog walkers, kitchen staff?
The White House architect was what ethnicity?
Armenian.
American, obviously. No, Irish.
Oh, he was Irish.
Adrian, if I had to tell you a really sad part of American history about the White House, what would you guess that would be?
When it burned down?
No, it was built by slaves, man. Come on.
Oh, damn. We should do a land acknowledgement and a labor acknowledgement for this episode.
How many rooms are in the White House?
400.
132. Harry Truman had what fun activity added to the White House grounds?
Bowling.
Yes. FDR oversaw...
Wait, is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, I really just... That was out of my ass. I didn't mean to sound confident.
FDR oversaw the transformation of the cloakroom into what fun activity?
Cloakroom? What can you fit in a cloakroom? What do you call it? What do you call it? I know this one. What's the word? Erotic asphyxiation?
By the way, you said what could you fit in a cloakroom? Apparently a 42-seat movie theater. How many goddamn cloaks?
How many fucking coats do they have there?
Hillary Clinton converted one sitting room into what?
A sitting room into a what?
Yeah.
I don't know, a place to jail black super predators?
That's true, but also think of it as a place for her husband to do something he famously liked to do, to have it fun.
Oh, No. You're not setting me up like that. Play saxophone.
Yeah, she turned it into a music room for Bill to play saxophone in.
She did it? It was her labor?
What's hidden beneath the press room?
Press room?
Yeah. And no, it's not a shark tank, so they could pull the big lever and drop everybody into a pool with sharks.
They would have done that with Sean Spencer, I'll tell you what. What's underneath the press room?
By the way, I've given you a hint on this one.
A bar.
No, it was a pool. I kept mentioning a pool full.
You piece of shit. You kept mentioning?
Yeah.
Alright.
Alright, and I think that might be the, last question.
Alright, we're about time. We're about time.
Sounds good.
Big facts, no cap.
My big fact is, when it comes to interior design, what you have to realize is that it's only going to create relationship drama, apparently, based on what we learned from our columns.
And what I learned about interior design was that, you know, you can't go wrong with IKEA. Go to IKEA together, find some nice basics that fit together, paint them if you need to. I've done that before for a bed frame. And, you know, you guys just keep it simple. You know, it's KISS, bruh. If you want to know about interior design.
Bye.